Amen. We give him all the glory. Let's all stand. The First Noel, number 97 in your hymn book. Number 97. The First Noel.
The
want to say Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for being here in church on this Christmas morning. There's just something wonderful about gathering around in church together with believers on the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you for being here. We've got a wonderful wonderful service today, I believe, and we'll be out in good time. I know there's a lot going on, of course, but thank you for being here in your place, and what a joy it is to see you. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and pray for us and ask God's blessing on the service today.
Thank you so much for the day that you've given to us today, a day that we celebrate your birth. Lord, we are so grateful that you came into this world, Lord, for us, and we are worshiping you together this morning as a church family. We've done it many already, started this day just turning our eyes toward you. And Lord, I pray that all throughout the day and all throughout the coming days, our hearts would be lifted up to you, Lord, as you have lifted us up by what you've done for us. And Lord, we thank you. Bless this service and every part of it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Number 82, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee. Thank you.
number 72. Tell me the story of Jesus. One would wonder why we would sing this during Christmas time. But you know, I think about that night at Christmas, that first Christmas night, how that everything else was going on around, and no one seemed to know about one of the greatest, if not the greatest, event in the entire history of humanity. Everybody was going about. Those that found a place to stay were very pleased with themselves that they had found a place to stay. And yet, the Savior of mankind, in love, decides to enter the world as we enter the world. He grows up as we grow up. He eats and plays and does all the things that we do. And He did that for us. For us. How many times have we ignored that? Tell me the story of Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. He stood up in heaven and He looked down through time, and He saw all that waited ahead. He knew that a stable was where He'd be born, and in a manger He'd lay down His head. still he came, hallelujah, Jesus came. Though he saw every trial he must face, he could have said, my Father, no, the price is great, I will not go. Yet because he loved us so, still he came. He knew he'd be tempted, and he knew he'd be tried, and he knew earthly men would mock his name. He knew on Mount Calvary he'd be nailed to a cross, but he knew his Father's will and he came. Still he came, hallelujah, Jesus came. Though he saw every trial he must face, he could have said, my Father, no, the price is great, I will not go. Yet because he loved us so, still he came. Yet because he loved us so, still he came.
Amen. And thank the Lord that Jesus came, and we did not even understand how different our lives would be, and there'd be nothing to live for. There'd be no eternity worth going toward had Jesus not rescued us from the penalty that we all deserve, and that's a place called hell. And it's unfathomable to think about how in despair and how we would be had it not been for, can you even begin to imagine? I don't think we can, how we would be if it had not been for our salvation. And so then speaking not only of that, of course, him coming, but then you in your life, if you're here today, most likely you had an introduction to the Savior sometime along the way and how that's changed your life. I'm so thankful for salvation, thankful for Christmas, thankful for Calvary. And I'm thankful to be here today, of course. And I want to again thank you for making a part of your Christmas day here with us. And we won't keep you long. I know there's many traditions and things that you want to be involved in. But I want to thank you for being here. And we'll get right into the Bible message. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verse number 7. Luke 2. As usually, I try to start with something funny on Sunday mornings, and so I didn't want you to come to Christmas service and not get what you expected, just in case that's why you came. So I heard about this Indian boy. He was out a long time ago. He's out west, and he was sending smoke signals to his girlfriend, and he was trying to, from that other tribe, and trying to make her be convinced that he loved her, and he was doing all he could. He tried to hold all that flame in, so when he lifted that big blanket off, it bit a big old puff of smoke, and so he was trying to just convey his heart's message that I love you more than life, I love you. And so about that last time, he let off that big smoke signal, and it went up. But about that time, though, he didn't know it, but out in New Mexico, they were practicing or testing that atomic bomb. Right after he left that big puff of smoke off, right off in the distance, then all that big mushroom cloud of that atomic bomb went off, and he was so impressed, and he looked over at his buddy that he was helping him send those smoke signals. He said, why couldn't I have said that? So, make sure your girl knows you love her, okay? Luke chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I just want to focus on that today. I'll preach just a short message. You've probably seen or maybe heard of little Christmas pageants. And by the way, we had that beautiful Christmas pageant here that the kids of our church did last week. It was such a wonderful time for me as the pastor just to watch them. And I hope that your children enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it. But we've all probably seen or heard of one of those Christmas pageants where the little fellow was there in the inn, and Mary and Joseph rode up on that donkey, or at least Mary did, and came up there and knocked on the door and said, "We're looking for a room." And boy, that little boy is just overwhelmed with compassion. And he was supposed to say, "There's no room in the inn," but he couldn't do it. He told her, he said, "You can have my room." And I like the story, whether it ever happened or not. I like the little story. And then we look at the scripture story about there was no room for them in the inn. And we don't know the exact circumstances of that. History would tell that it may not be exactly. We have a bad tendency to take what's happening in our lives and our recollection, our mind, and apply that to a text that was 2,000 years ago, a story that was 2,000 years ago. And so we don't know that there was a true innkeeper. It doesn't say there was. It could have just been there wasn't any room in there and went to the manger instead. But if our mind could go there for just a little while, we think about it being up a little staircase, and that innkeeper said, "No, there's not anything, and there's nothing we can do, but we do have some room out in the stall of the manger or in the barn." And let us suppose like that, that Joseph and Mary took that long journey to Bethlehem. And finally, when they do get there, they, as a last-ditch effort, they go to the last place where possibly there's a room, and then they're told there's no room here in the inn. If you do a timeout like that, I was wondering if there's a place in your history where you had your time to shine, but you blew it. You fumbled it. Fumbled the ball, so to speak. I remember one time I was had all the evening planned out, had the whatever movie it was back in the day. They used to have to have these things, little big blocky VHS tapes. Some of you old timers know that, right? Way, way back. That was in another dispensation, I'm sure. And you had that little sticker on there, "Be kind, rewind." You remember those days? I had that VHS tape in there and had it already fast forwarded past all of the warnings. Don't copy this in fear of FBI raiding your home or whatever those used to say on there. Had that all queued up at the right spot. Those frozen pizza was in the oven. And I went to get it, had already the VCR was paused, ready for that spot. And I went in there to get the frozen pizza, last one. It was ready, so I transferred it over to the plates that it was supposed to be on. I'm coming into the living room for this big event. About that time, I stumble a little bit. And I think, you always have these good impressions of what you're going to look like. I'm thinking like I'm one of those wide receivers. My pizza starts to fumble a little bit, but I've got envisioned in my mind that I'm going to make this miraculous catch. I think yesterday was the 50th anniversary when Franco Harris made that, they called the Immaculate Reception back in the Steelers when they put him over from the blah days to the heydays. But you've got this picture in your mind that I'm going to save it. It starts to fall out of my hands. You know how it is, almost like it's in slow motion. Whoa, 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 whoa. And then, but I'm thinking, well, I'm just going to save the day and go down for a beautiful catch and then bring it in to sit there on the couch and watch whatever movie's queued up. But what happened in real life didn't match what happened in my mind. So I thought I'm going to catch it and just keep the plate there. But instead, mozzarella side down on the carpet. So I've always thought that, you had your time to shine. You had the time to save the day and pull that out. But instead, you're scraping mozzarella out of carpet fibers in your living room. Well, back to our story. I've always wondered if it was like we sometimes portrayed in a pageant that the innkeeper was behind the door and he said, "No, there's no room." I always wonder if he ever came to a point in his life says, "I blew it. Boy, I had a chance to just say, yeah, you can have the best of the best rooms here. We're not going to put you out in the barn. We're going to put you in there." But Joseph and Mary asked, maybe, if there's room, and the innkeeper has to say, and they'll be known for all this time to say, "No room." And I'd like for you to join me today. Again, all of that story, we're not certain because the scripture doesn't say that it happened like that. But I know for a fact that we could get to a place today where we say, "Lord, there's room in my life for you." Regardless of how it happened that night, that day, we're to this day, we could say, "Lord, there's room in my life for you. you. I want you to look at a couple places in Scripture right here in this passage that people did make room for him. Look at chapter 2, same chapter, but verse number 16. The shepherds, they made room for him. In verse 16 of Luke 2, and they came with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They certainly made room in their life for Jesus Christ. Not only did they go to see him, but when they got there, that changed their life so much that they couldn't wait to go tell some other people about what they had seen. They made known abroad. Not only do we see the shepherds, that they made room for Jesus, but look at chapter 2, same chapter, but verse number 28. We see Simeon. He made room for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 26, it was revealed unto him, that Simeon, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Then verse 28, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Simeon was a worker there in the temple when they had brought the Lord Jesus Christ to the temple to do the rituals that they were supposed to. And Simeon made room in his life for the Lord. He said, this is the one. Look down, if you will, verse number 38. There was also Anna, a prophetess, the daughter there that had worked as well in the temple, and she'd been a widow for some time. Verse number 38. And she, coming in that instance, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So there's people in the Christmas story who made room for the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, as we've gathered together, I challenge you to ask yourself this question. Is there room in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ? First of all, as a gospel preacher, I would make sure that everybody in attendance today, you've made room for the Lord in your life, and be sure that you're saved. As Brother Dan sang about, there's a reason why he came. We understand that he came to this earth not so that we could make beautiful Christmas cards with a beautiful manger scene on there. That's just a remembering what happened. He didn't come so that we could all get along, actually. He didn't come so we'd be nice to one another. He didn't come so we'd have a beautiful place to come gather in, have a reason to gather. All those are byproducts, but he came, the Bible says, to be born of that virgin, and he came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Because as I talked about after that song, just think, if we weren't saved, what would your life be like? I don't have to have you raise your hand, because I know it's true with everybody. Everybody gets depressed from time to time. Not all of us have as much trouble as others do, and some really have a bout with it. But all of us get depressed from time to time. But you, as a believer in Christ, what would that depression be like if you couldn't rest yourself on the promises of God's Word that heaven was your home? Jesus is my Savior. The Bible is my book. The Holy Spirit is my guide. How would that depression differ than what you face now? Oh, it'd be off the charts different. Because the worst of the worst of the worst of my days, or in your days if you're a Christian, finds me at the end of that day saying, I have Jesus. I may lose everything else, but I have Jesus. And perhaps you're here today and you can't say with me that I have Jesus. If you're here this morning, I ask you to not be like the possible innkeeper and say, I don't have room in my life right now for Jesus Christ. We often ask the question, what do I give the person who has everything? And usually we're talking about our dad, granddad, somebody who doesn't need anything. If they need it, they'd go get it. Well, I'll give you a question harder than that. What do you give the God who made everything? There's nothing you can give him, except like the little boy said in the song, I believe I'll give him my heart. And if you're here today, I beg of you, don't let you find yourself in a church on Sunday morning that's Christmas morning and not be sure that you've got forgiveness of Jesus Christ in your heart. Amen. It would be totally a shame to go through this Christmas season as much as you hear about the Messiah and not ask Him to come into your life and be your Savior and forgive you. So there is room in my life for Jesus. I trust that that's your statement today. And then not only is there room in my life for Jesus, but there's room in my family. Many of you have gathered together today, and you've got family that doesn't even live here with you, but they were so good to come and spend the holidays with you. And on that holiday, somebody said, they did, you did, somebody brought up, says, listen, there's a Christmas morning service. Let's go together. And you've made great strides to say, there's room in our family for the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about this. My son Jared's with us today, and he's the children's pastor over at our home church. And I always think about it like this when folks work with young people, when school teachers and children's pastors and Sunday school teachers and all of that, they always get the inside scoop on what's really going on in your family. If I wanted to know how the people of Franklin Road were doing over where he is on staff, I wouldn't ask my pastor, say, hey, how's your deacon's life going? Oh, no. Go ask Jared, because he has their kids in some of the class, and the deacon will lie to you. You know how it is. They're coming through town, yakking like two dogs, fighting back and forth, or going at each other. Well, I don't know why you didn't do this. Well, I don't know why you didn't do this. And I don't know why you ever do this. And you never do this. And you always do that. And then they get to the parking lot and they open up the door. Hey, brother. God's blessings upon you all. It's good to see you. Lie straight to us. But the kids don't know yet that they're supposed to put on the image. When they get to Sunday school class or get to children's church, have prayer requests, pray for my mom and dad. They're yelling at each other again. You mean your deacon mom and dad? And then I always want to be like the Sunday school teacher. Oh, let me take some notes about this. Wow. Now, what did your dad say? Oh, we can't repeat that one in church. No, no. So I wouldn't ask the pastor how good the family is. I'd ask Jared. And my friend, our families can get in such a mess. This world is bombarding our families with all kinds of wickedness and just trying to get them to crumble. And I'm challenging you this morning to make sure there's room in your family for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, what's that look like? Well, first of all, that looks like some old-fashioned land claimers out west where you stake your claim. You say, this is mine. It starts off like that when you get you, yours, your you four, no more, you five, and that's alive, you whatever many of you are. If it's just one of you anymore, that's fine. You stake that claim and say, this family is the Lord's. Like Joshua in the Old Testament said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm always impressed by that Joshua didn't turn to Mrs. Joshua and say, is that all right, honey? Is it all right if I speak up for you? He just said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I challenge all of us. This is just because it's Christmas time, it's traditional time. There's a lot of wonderful family activities. Just because it's those times doesn't mean it can't be a spiritual time. As a matter of fact, it should be a spiritual time. This is a great time for you to stake your claim and say, this family, we ain't much. We mess up more than we get it right. And that may be true. Listen, folks, we're all on a work in progress. But don't look at those people. Well, I know they're a spiritual family. Well, they might not be as spiritual as you think they are, because everybody's having issues. But where you started is you stake that claim and say, we may be a mess, but we're going to try our best to live for Jesus Christ. One of the lessons that all of us need to learn is, don't wait till you get it all figured out to start doing what you know you're supposed to do. Yeah. Can I just give you a little leadership lesson? If we're not careful, The devil will trick us into thinking that, well, whenever you get to that level, that threshold, then you can start living for Jesus. And that's going to be a movable target, because the devil is going to just keep on putting it further out and further out. What my suggestion is to you, that you just say, I'm going to stop it right here, and I'm going to say, we may not be the best, but we want to stand up for Jesus. I want you to realize today that we ought to say, there's room in my life, and there's room in our family. And then for the pastor of this church, I want to be sure that we say there's room in this place for him. You say, oh, well, how, that's not even needful to be said. Why would you have to say that? Well, there's a whole lot of churches, and this can be just the same way, that we're filled with activity, but not filled with God. And so as your pastor, I want you to know that we're going to work hard to try to make sure there's always room for the Lord Jesus Christ out there in our lobby walls. We have those three signs: loving God, growing together, reaching others, because that's what we want our church to be known for, to teach people that they need to love God. The only way you can love the Lord is let Him come into your heart and be saved, and then growing together in grace and knowledge of the truth, as the Bible tells us to do, and then be reaching others for the gospel. There's a whole lot here that we don't do at this church. Not bad stuff, but it just doesn't fit into the mission of why this church was here. And so may we always say that there's room in this church for the Lord. Room in your life, room in your family, and room in this church. I heard of a story about this family that was all being dedicated. Sometimes a baby dedication. We had one just last week, as a matter of fact. But this particular one, the whole family was just came to the pastor and said, we want to dedicate our family. There was a baby, but then there were some older ones as well. And so the pastor was praying over that family and said, Lord, we want to see them raised in a Christian home. We want to see them live for you. We want to see them do your will. We want to see them blessed of you. On the ride home, one of the boys that was in the back seat, he reached up and tapped his dad. He said, Dad? He said, yes, sir. They were going home, going to eat supper or lunch, rather. He said, the preacher said he wanted us to grow up in a home, in a Christian home. He said, yep. He said he wanted to grow up in a home that was right and godly and was just exactly what the Bible said. He said, yes, that's right. He said, Dad, I want to stay with you guys. So, my friend, may we find ourselves trying our best to live a life in a family that puts Jesus Christ first. Again, I don't know whether it happened like that, because the Bible doesn't say about that innkeeper, but it sure is nice for Christmas pageants. And I always like that story where the little boy says, okay, I can't turn away Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I wonder about us. You and I know that there are so many activities and thoughts crowding our minds, even right now. We're all thinking about what we're going to do here in a few moments. I'm going to eat, I'm going to open presents, and then just lay around the rest of the day. But we're all thinking about what we're going to do. And that's not only true for right now, that's true for our whole life. We're bombarded with what we're going to do next. What can we buy next? What can we improve on our home next? Where can we go next for the next vacation? You know it's true. You don't finish one vacation, but what you're saying, now next time we want to do this. And I'm just telling you, life experience would be the same for all of us, that if we're not careful, we've got so many thoughts, so many ideas pressing toward us, it's easy for the Lord Jesus Christ to get pushed out. So as we conclude today, I'd like for every single one of us just to say, Lord, there's room in my life for you. Amen. I don't want to be one of those Christians that allows everything else to push out the main thing. You know, that little slogan came up, Jesus is the reason for the season. We act like we got to tell that to unsaved people. But you know who I'm figuring out needs it about anybody else? It's Christians. Good. Jesus is the reason for the season. And may none of us say, I don't have any room right now. I don't know what that makes. I don't know what that looks like for your new year. But I'm challenging you to make some holy vows to God to say, Lord, I'm going to change some things. I want there to be room in my life for you. Amen. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you're not sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, I challenge you to open up your life and say, Lord, please come in, forgive my sins, make me ready for heaven. Don't leave another Christmas off and say that I don't have room right now for that. Today is that day to come to Him. Would you bow your heads together with me? Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every person listening today. And my friend, if you're in this room today, and as I pray to the Lord, I'm going to ask Him to give you the courage just to reach out to Jesus Christ in faith and ask Him to be your Savior, forgive your sins. I just want you to know that's what I'm going to pray in just a moment. I'm going to ask the Lord to make that easy for you. Lord, I pray for anyone that's in this room or watching that isn't saved. They know about the Christ child. They know the story of Jesus in the manger. But for one reason or another, they've never prayed and asked that Savior that grew up, went to the cross, died, was buried, rose again, is alive forevermore. They've never asked Him to be their personal Savior. Lord, please make that real to them today and show them that, dear Lord, that's not a religious experience. That's not signing a card or signing up for a membership. That's a spiritual event where they need to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, show them that today. And then, Lord, I pray you'd show my friends that all of us, we get so busy. Lord, you'd show each and every one of us not to push Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, out of Christmas. Help us, dear Lord, to focus and remember and remind ourselves and everyone else there's room for you. Father, bless us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Would you stand together with me if you're able to as the ladies play something through? There where you are, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, my friend, today would be the best day in the whole world for you to right there where you stand or sit, from your heart, form a prayer that basically just showed your intentions of putting your faith, trust, and dependence on Jesus. Years ago, I prayed a prayer something like this: Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I'm not good enough to go to heaven, but I know you died for me. Please come into my life, forgive me my sins. Take me to heaven when I die. If you're here and not sure you're saved, I challenge you, my friend, make room for the Lord in your life. Invite Him in to forgive your sins and take you to heaven. And then, Christian friend, brother, sister, church member, guest, friend I haven't met yet, please, let's bind together and let's make sure we've got room for the Lord in our Christian life. Seems strange to even say, doesn't it? But you know you get busy and I get busy. If we're not careful, we'll just push the Lord right out. Oh, we don't push Him all the way out. We know the doctrines, but in our activities, our thoughts, we just get so full of everything. Not bad stuff, just stuff. Let's claim today, proclaim today that, Lord, we want you to have front spot, first place, front row. we won't push Christ out of Christmas. Well, thank you so much. You may look this way. It's just a joy to be together with Christians on Christmas. And I want to thank each of you for gathering. We'll ask Brother Kyle to come and dismiss us in our Christmas prayer. And as he comes, I'll slip back to the back and just greet you. But I usually tell you, stick around, fellowship. You don't have to. Just get on out to your car. If those presents are waiting, get home to them. I'm amazed you sat here as long as you did. So, no, all jokes aside, it's a joy. Just know from our family, we want to say Merry Christmas. God has been so good to us. And thank you for being here today. Brother Kyle, won't you dismiss us?
Lord, we thank you for sending your Son to this earth to die for us. Lord, I pray that we would make room in our lives and our families and our church for him. Lord, I pray that we would go through the rest of today remembering the true reason for the season. Lord, we thank you and praise you for it. In your name I pray. Amen.